This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Allah Ta'ala, and you're in the best of health and iman and strength. Ameen. So a couple of things. First of all, you on Instagram see this, and you on YouTube and Facebook see that. Someone asked me, what's that on the wall? It's basically just holes that need to be repaired. So I need to get a few things done in the office. And this actually, you know what? I've contemplated shifting my angle of recording because of that in the back. It actually really bothers me and irritated me until I thought of the bullet holes that I'd seen in the masjid in Quebec City. In the window, and I thought to myself, you know what, this is a reminder of how short life is and how, you know, things happen that we don't expect. And nothing in life is perfect. This life is not 100% perfect, so there's nothing wrong with having a hole on your wall. That's just the way I see it. Alhamdulillah. Jazakallahu khair. You don't have to fix it. Like I said, it's a reminder of how short this life is. Alhamdulillah. Okay, so we're going to get started. The timing of Maghrib and Isha seems to creep up very, very quickly. And hopefully my battery lasts throughout the entire session. I have about 41% on the YouTube and Facebook streams. So hopefully that goes well. Isha is at 8:45, so we need to finish up about 20 minutes before that so I can open the door to avoid people banging on my window, like you've seen in the last few weeks, people just banging on my window, asking me to open the door in the middle of the live session. Khalas. So last week we looked at the importance of sticking to the Quran and protecting it, what we've learned of it, etc. To work according to the Quran, as in al-amal bil Quran, like to actually work according to the Quran. And another thing that I wanted to mention as well is not just, you know, take the lessons that we learn from the Quran and implement them in our lives, but to actually strive to or set out to learn the Quran by designing a schedule for yourself or designing a routine for yourself. You know, putting into practice the recitation of the Quran as a regular thing within the day. And it's easier said than done, no doubt, but finding that routine is something that everyone needs to do. For some people, it's in the morning after Fajr. For other people, it's at the end of the day. For some people, it's in the middle of the day. Others, it's while they're, you know, commuting back and forth to work and stuff. I remember one day, a couple months ago, I was talking to one of the brothers that I know here in the community, and I said, you must be enjoying the fact that you don't have to drive downtown, or sorry, take the train, public transport, going downtown to work and coming back. And he said, actually, I miss it because I used to get out of my Quran and revision and stuff like that done while taking the train, riding back and forth for an hour or an hour and a half every single day. So subhanAllah, some people actually benefit from their time while commuting by filling that time with the Quran as well. Today, inshallah ta'ala, we're going to move on. We are going to look at striving to revise the Quran and retain the Quran and protecting it. Okay, so we touched upon that briefly right now. Strive to revise the Quran, retain the Quran, and protecting it. What we mean by that is, first of all, developing that routine, like we said, right? Strive to retain that aspect of the Quran that you've memorized. Work really hard at trying not to forget it. Fridays are tough. So work really hard at trying not to forget the Quran that you've memorized or that you've learned. And for some people, it's not just memorization. For some people, it's the recitation of the Quran. So I met someone a few days ago who grew up actually in an Arab-speaking country. Okay, in an Arabic-speaking country, I should say, not Arab-speaking, Arabic-speaking country. And this brother was saying from the time he was born up until the age of 12, he lived in a country that spoke Arabic and only Arabic, and he only spoke Arabic. And so he knew how to speak Arabic. He knew the Quran, as in he could recite it. He learned the recitation of the Quran. He learned the letters and so on and so forth. But from the age of 12 until now, he's in his 30s, or just about to hit 30, I should say, he actually forgot how to recite the Quran. And that's because, you know, sometimes parents don't put an importance on it. And of course, as parents, we got to push hard, right? We need to push hard. It's not easy. You know, you need to take your time out of the day, our own personal time, in order to teach our children the Quran. So that's one thing of it. The other thing is that with time passing, sometimes we forget the ability, or we lose the ability to recite the Quran. And I'm not talking about memory, just recite it. So looking at it and saying, okay, this is Alif, and this is Ba, and that letter is Ta, and the other one is Tha, and the other one is Jim, and Ha, and Kha, and put them all together, and what do you get, right? And so sometimes we don't recite the Quran for such a long time that we forget it. And I've met many, many Muslims here in Canada who have forgotten how to recite the Quran. They completely forgot how to even recite the Arabic language, the Quran. And it makes you wonder, if we are not opening the Quran for that long, that means we are very distant from the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay? So striving hard to revise the Quran is one thing. We'll take that first, for example, revising the Quran, setting up a routine for yourself in terms of time, but also setting up a routine for yourself to cover, right? An amount of the Quran that you're going to cover in revision. So for example, if you've memorized the entire Quran, you should be finishing the Quran once a month, minimum, absolute minimum. In fact, you should be finishing it 5 times a month, right? That's how it should be. We should be finishing the Quran a minimum of about 5 times every single month. And the reason why I say that is, if a person is going to revise one juz a day, which is probably not the wisest thing for half of the Quran to do, right? To memorize the entire Quran and then revise one juz every 30 days. But if you are going to do that, there are some methods that do work. And one of those methods is for someone to memorize, to revise one juz every day, 5 times over. Right, so you're going to recite that juz 5 times throughout the entire day. And some people say 5 times, that's crazy. Like, that's like reading 5 juz every single day. Well, someone who memorized the Quran, that's what they have to do, right? And we don't see this. A lot of the time, people don't see it. They don't see the behind the scenes of what goes on for someone to memorize the Quran, but they don't see the behind the scenes of what goes on for someone to retain the Quran as well. What it takes to continue to keep it in your memory. And so you might see a hafiz of the Quran come, or for example, we'll take an example of an imam, right? An imam of a masjid whose you know, main role is to lead the prayers. Okay, that's not my role. I actually don't like having that role. I don't like having the role of leading the prayers. So take an example of an imam whose main role is to lead the prayers every single day. We think that they just come, stand there, lead salah, an easy job. But the reality is that you have to revise every single day before you even go and lead. And it doesn't matter how many years you've been a hafiz of the Quran. I know someone who's, what, 3 years older than me. So, you know, he's about 20 years old now. Right? Someone who's 3 years older than me. So he's about 20 years old. And, or he's 21 actually, because I'm 18. And he, mashallah, has been a hafiz of the Quran for many years, since he was the age of about, I would say, 14 or 15. Okay. And he still revises 5 juz of the Quran every single day, which means in how many days does he finish the whole Quran? 5, 10, 15, 20, 25, 30. Every week he finishes the Quran, every 6 days, okay? So he revises 5 juz of the Quran every single day. And I know some of you are confused with the math now. You're like, second, how has he been a hafiz of the Quran for so many years if he's only 21? Well, the reality is he's much older than 21, right? So That's just a simple example. I know some others. I know I can give you names of some of the shuyukh that you probably know that you watch on YouTube and, you know, follow on Instagram and stuff like that, who I know personally, and I've asked them, you know, what is your routine for the Quran and how much do you revise every single day? And I can tell you generally, a good number of them, those who are punctual with their Quran, on average, no less than 5 juz every single day. And some people think that that's really difficult, right? But that's what it takes in order to show respect to the to yourself for memorizing the Quran. So you're showing respect to the Quran, but you're respecting the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has chosen you as a carrier of the Quran. And so you need to retain that, right? It's absolutely important for us to acknowledge this, that the Quran itself is a gift from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right? It's the word of Allah. And some people have been given that gift in terms of recitation and memorization, and they should practice it and revise it. We took that example last week when we said, "Inna nahnu nazzalna dhikra wa inna lahu lahafizun." Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that He is the one who brought down the dhikr, the Quran, right? You know, it descended from Lawh al-Mahfuz to Jibreel alayhi salam to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and to us. وَإِنَّا لَهُ لَحَافِظُونَ And it is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who protects the Qur'an, and He protects it in some ways through us, right? Through people, through human beings. And so to be chosen to have learnt even an ayah of the Qur'an where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, بَلِّغُوا عَنِّي وَلَوْ آيَةً Okay, بَلِّغُوا عَنِّي وَلَوْ آيَةً Convey from me even if it is just one ayah, one verse. And so it's important for us to teach others, spread that one verse, but we have to still retain that one verse. We need to revise that one verse of the Quran. We need to make sure that we never forget it. Okay. So there's one thing to revise the Quran. Okay. And then retaining the Quran, well, this is your long-term plan, that you are never going to forget it and you are going to retain it by constantly revising it. But retain your recitation as well. There's a difference between memorization and recitation. Some people will memorize the Quran and then revise it, right, to a point where they feel comfortable with it and then let go of it. And they might revise, you know, through audio lectures and so on. And then when it comes to actually reading the Quran, they stumble, even though they're half of the Quran. But when they're looking at it and reading it, it becomes very difficult for them because they're not practicing looking at the Quran as well. So we need to look at the Quran. From the etiquettes of the Quran is that we look at it and we enjoy it and we, you know, spend time looking at it. Our eyes should be seeing the Quran very often. I'm probably, you know, one who's at fault more than anyone else because we need to spend more and more and more time with the Quran. Okay. So, you know, that's with regards to retaining the Quran and revising the Quran. Now, what about protecting it? So protecting the Quran means also protecting your memory, right? Remember the famous incident of Imam Shafi'i, rahimahullah, where he went to his teacher, Waqi', and he complained to him. Shakawtu ila Waqi'in. He went to his teacher, Waqi', and there's a famous, you know, poem. And he says, I complained to him about, he complained about his memory, right? He felt like there was a loss of memory. And his teacher told him, you know, you need to protect yourself from seeing that which is haram for you. He ended up, you know, seeing the ankle of a woman, right? And at that time, you know, women were completely, completely covered. Not like today. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us all. Like, you know, you drive down the street and people are walking outside and there's nothing that's covered anymore. Like, it's covered, but it's not covered. And we know the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with regards to this, right? You know, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you know, encouraged the Sahaba radiallahu anhum to stay away from sin. And so Imam Shafi'i rahimahullah, he ended up seeing something that he's not supposed to see, which was just like the bottom part of the leg of a woman who he's not mahram for, right? So he saw that and he went and he complained to his teacher about his memory being bad, and his teacher reminded him that, you know, the nur of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is what guides us, right? And we don't get that nur, right? As in, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who guides us, and through the guidance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we develop this sense of nur. You can't get that nur if you're not going to be obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right? And you're not going to receive that guidance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to continue to do what's good if you're going to intentionally go and do what's wrong. Now, this is just a simple example of how, you know, he saw something that wasn't, it's just there, subhanAllah. But for someone who is living in, you know, somewhat of a lifestyle that is protected, right? They try to cover all their grounds to protect themselves from any sort of sin or evil or haram or anything of that sort. The slightest thing, I know for you and I, we're like, it's just an ankle, what's a big deal? And that's because we see ankles all the time, right? That's because we see ankles all the time. And I'm speaking very frank. You know, when I was a student in Medina, living in Medina, you wouldn't even approach your teacher if your teacher was with his family. What I mean by family is his wife and children. And so I wasn't single. I was married at the time, but my wife was here in Canada. So I didn't get to go over to many people's houses and interact with families. And, you know, my wife wasn't there to get to know, you know, people's families and stuff like that. So it was just like, you go to class, you come back, you go to the haram, as in you go to Masjid al-Nabawi in the evening, you come back. And Medina, subhanAllah, at the time, it's not like today where, you know, just last year in Hajj when I went, the sister at the counter in Medina, we know that Medina, only Muslims are allowed in Medina, right? The sister who was working at the counter is a Saudi sister. You know, she wasn't wearing her hijab properly because it's not something that's like super, super compulsory in Medina anymore or in the kingdom. And so her half of her hair was just sticking out. And I was like, subhanAllah, this is so strange. Because I remember when I was a student in Medina, and we used to leave after being there for 9 or 10 months and fly home. When we would land in Heathrow, for example, we used to transit through London Heathrow. And you go up to the immigration counter and you give them your passport as you land. We used to be so used to being in that bubble environment, that Medina environment, right? Where we would give salam to everyone. So we come up to the counter and be like, good morning, how's it going, right? Like, you forget that you're interacting with someone who's not Muslim. And then also, it's so weird because it felt like everywhere you look and everything that's around you is like, you need to protect yourself from it. Right, we didn't see more than like the eyes of a woman, right? And subhanAllah, that's just how it is living in Medina. You come out of that and it feels like, okay, this is super strange. You feel very awkward, very out of place. And eventually over time, you know, from being outside of Medina for such a long time, the environment that we live in, it just grows upon us and it's normal. Like, you drive down the street, you see someone wearing whatever they're wearing, or they're not wearing whatever they're not wearing, or supposed to be wearing, and it just doesn't really matter. Because it's like, yeah, this is the norm over here, right? So you move on. And so that's an example of becoming desensitized to the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, right? Or what I should say is becoming used to the environment that's around you, whether regardless of what the environment is. And in that process, sometimes we lose the Quran because we are looking at things we're not supposed to look at, or seeing things that we're not supposed to see, or drawing our attention to things that are grabbing our attention and drawing us closer to it. And I mean by that is not just looking at things, it's listening to things that we're not supposed to be listening to. And it's speaking words and saying things that we're not supposed to say. Right, our teachers always used to tell us, you cannot recite the Quran on a tongue that also uses foul language, right? A tongue that expresses itself with bad words, with like cursing and swearing and so on, is not a tongue that the Quran can be housed on as well, right? That's just an example of how, you know, as Muslims, as believers, we need to be people who learn to control ourselves in all aspects. And that's one thing that Hajj teaches us. Those of you who go for Hajj before, you know, your entire journey from beginning until end is more and more and more sacrifice, right? So you start to let go of the luxuries as time goes on. You're letting go and letting go and letting go of luxuries that are out there. And eventually, subhanAllah, you're laying down on the ground in Muzdalifah with lots of people around you, lots of noise, no air conditioning, no electricity, you know, no ease of access to bathroom, no fridge or stove to go and cook food or grab food out of, no shower, no change of clothing. You know, it's really hot. There's people around you who you don't want to be around you. You know, there's people making noise. There's pollution. It's just like everything of the luxuries of this world are gone. And a person who still finds comfort in that situation is a person who is content with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right? And so when it comes to the Quran itself, you know, protecting ourselves from everything that's out there to a point where it exists around us, but it doesn't affect you. It exists around you, but it's not bothering you. It's not there anymore, okay? And I'm just going to ask everyone on Facebook or YouTube, if you're still able to hear me and see me, just let me know, because something popped up and I'm not sure if you're still there or still able to hear and whatnot. So protecting the Quran doesn't just mean us revising it so much that we become super master hafiz of the Quran. We have to protect our heart and put a seal around our hearts, or a shield, I should say, not a seal, a shield. Right? Jazakumullahu khairan Muneeb. So protect our heart, protect our eyes, protect our ears, protect our mouth, protect our limbs, protect where we go, protect who we interact with, protect our wealth, protect what we eat, right? Protect what we consume. We have to protect the way that we dress. We have to look appropriate. We have to protect the way that we conduct ourselves. We don't use our hands and our feet in ways that are or our body in general in ways that are impermissible, right? We don't make symbols or signals or anything of that sort. And you know what I'm talking about, you know, in whatever pops into your mind. And, you know, sometimes we talk about things and say, oh, you have a dirty mind, that's why you thought of that. But these things, they pop into our minds because we experience them, they're around us, right? And so whatever it is that we need to protect ourselves from, we have to do that for the sake of retaining the Quran and keeping it within us. That is part of the etiquettes of the Quran. So someone who wants to learn the Quran and says, you know what, I tried memorizing the Quran, I'm not able to do it. Well, look at your personal life. Are you eating things that are haram? Because then your flesh and your body is being made up of things that's haram. It's not permissible, right? Are you listening to things that's haram? Because then your brain is intaking things, right? There's things going in, input into your hard disk. That's not right. Are you watching things that are haram? Because that's controlling your desires in your heart and taking you away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Something that's far from Allah is not deserving of containing or being the vessel to protect the Quran. So we need to protect ourselves, right? And that's important. A lot of people don't think of it that way. A lot of people don't think of the Quran as, you know, I'm perfecting myself first. And that's why I wanted to start this, you know, series on learning the morals and values and etiquettes of dealing with the Quran. Because many people think, you know what, I'll just make my child a hafiz of the Quran. How many years have we seen people sending their children to a madrasa or a darul ulum or, you know, a school, a Quran institute to memorize the Quran? And we usually say, you know what, this child is troublesome, so I'm going to get them closer to Allah by forcing them to memorize the Quran. Does that work? Is that even right? Shouldn't we choose the best of our children? Shouldn't we choose the smartest and wisest and most clever of our children? I think so, right? I think that those who learn the Quran should be people of value, people of honor, people of status with Allah, not status in society, status with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when we look at our children, we look at the ones that are most humble. We look at the ones who are conscious of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because we can't retain, revise, or protect the Quran if we're not doing that to ourselves. And remember, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't need us to do this. And an example is given, as we see in the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, the example of the sahib al-Qur'an, the person who is connected to the Qur'an, is like a person who's connected to their camels that are tied up. Okay, they're camels that are tied up. And if you create that relationship and develop that relationship with those camels, they'll be with you. But if you let them go, the moment you untie that knot, right, from the animal, it's gone, right? It'll go and do whatever it wants. And so with the Quran, you need to develop a relationship with it. You're going to feed your body right, what's right, because it contains the Quran. You're going to feed your eyes and your ears and your time and your tongue, and, you know, the way that you speak and stuff like that. And the people that you're around, the friends that you are around, right? A person who's a hafiz of the Quran, sitting and chilling with people that are doing things that are haram, that's not the way of the people of the Quran. And so we need to understand that it's an entire lifestyle shift that happens slowly, but it has to happen. It has to happen. I'm sorry, I'm just going to move around a little bit while I'm speaking because I need to plug in my laptop. I should have done this before the class. Forgive me for doing this in the middle of a class. It's not really something I like doing, but I forgot to plug it in. And considering we live in a time where everyone likes raw footage, this is raw footage. Alhamdulillah. All right, let's move on. We actually only covered one aspect of our class for today. The next thing that we need to remember with regards to the Quran is never to say that you forgot some of the Quran. So don't say, I forgot the Quran. I forgot this juz. I forgot that surah. Okay? Rather, we learn from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam is that we should say, I was made to forget. Okay? I was made to forget it. Attributing that loss of memory or that that forgetfulness of certain surahs or ayat, attributing it to Allah as an it's from Allah that this was taken away from my memory. Okay, and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect us all. I mean, another thing that we need to do with regards to learning the Quran, in terms of respecting the Quran, is to have tadabbur of the Quran. So to reflect the Quran, okay? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah An-Nisa, verse number 82, and we took this last week, I believe, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَفَلَا يَدَبَّرُونَ الْقُرْآنَ وَلَوْ كَانَ مِنْ عِنْدِ غَيْرِ اللَّهِ لَوَجَدُوا فِيهِ اخْتِلَافًا كَثِيرًا أَفَلَا يَتَدَبَّرُونَ الْقُرْآنَ. Don't they ponder over the Quran? Right? Don't you think about what's in the Quran? Don't you reflect about the contents of the Quran? And I'll give you an example. That same brother that I was telling you about that I spoke to just a few days ago, who was telling me that he grew up in an Arabic-speaking country and he only knew Arabic up until the age of 12, but now, you know, over the years he forgot Arabic and he actually just retaught himself how to recite the Quran, and he's now just, you know, he finished learning the Qa'ida, right, which is, you know, the book of Qawa'id, you know, the rules of Arabic and basic, you know, recitation of the Quran, Arabic language. He's now reading through it. So he's like, inshallah, soon I'll be memorizing it, but he's now reading through it. And he's like, subhanAllah, it's amazing, because he goes, I remember Arabic. He goes, I could speak Arabic and stuff like that, but I forgot how to recite the Quran. But he's like, now that I'm able to read it, he's like, it's amazing. It's so amazing. He goes, what's in the Quran is absolutely amazing, right? And this is a brother who, you know, was messed up, like was really, really messed up. And you have, like, you can't even begin to try and imagine how messed up this brother was. But now he's so linked to the Quran. He's so connected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through the Quran, right? That he gave an example. He goes, even Surah Al-Qari'ah. He's like, subhanAllah, it's so amazing. He's like, it's so amazing. Al-Qari'ah, Mal-Qari'ah, wa ma adraka mal-Qari'ah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions this and then he asks you about it. يَوْمَ يَكُونُ النَّاسُ كَالْفَرَاشِ الْمَبْثُوثِ وَتَكُونُ الْجِبَالُ كَالْعِهْنِ الْمَنْفُوشِ فَأَمَّا مَنْ ثَقُلَتْ مَوَازِينُهُ فَهُوَ فِي عِيشَةٍ رَاضِيَةٍ وَأَمَّا مَنْ خَفَّتْ مَوَازِينُهُ فَأُمُّهُ هَاوِيَةٌ وَمَا أَدْرَكَ مَا هِيَ نَارٌ حَامِيَةٌ. Such a short surah. We recite it all the time in salah. But do we ever think of what it means? This brother, now that he's sitting there reading, he's like, subhanAllah, this is amazing. You know, he's opening the Quran. He's like, Al-Qari'ah is so powerful. He's like, I wish I knew this before. And subhanAllah, he knew Arabic. He knew how to read the Quran, but he left it. He abandoned it. And now that he's come back to it and connected with the Quran again, he's just freaking out. Honestly, he was like freaking out over how amazing this surah was of the Quran. That's beautiful. That's from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right? So tadabbur of the Quran, to sit and to ponder and think and reflect over what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has revealed to us within the Quran. Al-Qari'ah. And it's a perfect example, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then he says Al-Qari'ah, and he says, Mal Qari'ah, what is Al-Qari'ah? Then he says, وَمَا أَدْرَاكَ مَا الْقَارِيَةُ, what do you think Al-Qari'ah even is? Right? Then he says the answer to it.
يَوْمَ يَكُونُ النَّاسُ كَالْفَرَاشِ الْمَبْثُوثِ.
For those of you who don't know what it means, go and open the Mus'haf and see what it means. Such a short surah, you probably memorized it, right? It's absolutely amazing, absolutely amazing. What Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has revealed to us in the Quran. How many of you have, you know those apps on your phone where it sends you a random verse of the Quran every single day, right? How many of you have one of those? It sends you a random verse of the Quran every single day, right? Or you have that option on the app. It's usually a Salah app. Like for me, it's Muslim Pro, right? I have that as an application on my phone for Salah timings and stuff like that. But we all have that, right? When you think of it, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts such amazing things in the Quran. Every single day, you'll get this random ayah. But that ayah has something to do with your day today, or has something to do with the way you feel today, or has something to do with anything that's linked to you. That's the beauty and a miracle of the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put stuff in the Quran that relates to us every single day. Okay? So, wujub tadabbur al-Quran. SubhanAllah, looking at the time, there's a lot of things that I wanted to cover. But we're not going to have much time. Another example, for example, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we know this very well, he used to read the Quran to the Sahaba and give them 10 ayat. 10 ayat of the Quran, right? And the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, they say that these 10 ayat, we used to take them and implement them, right? And live by them until they would understand exactly what they meant and implement them in their lives, as in inject them right into their life. This is how I'm going to live now. And subhanAllah, what we see is the Sahaba radiallahu anhum said, they learned that knowledge and action. Al-ilm wal-amal. And the example that I'm giving here, and we'll end with this today, inshaAllah ta'ala, because, I'm looking at the time and I'm thinking, yeah, that's got to be called soon, and I need to meet Isha, inshaAllah. What we learn from this example of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum learning 10 ayat at a time and not taking any more until they were implementing this, and saying that we learned knowledge and action, right, of these ayat of the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which means what we need to learn from this and take away is that we need to slow down our learning. Some of us attend too many courses, we attend too many classes, we attend too many online sessions, we watch too many videos, we read too many books and too many, I'm not saying that it's bad, but sometimes reading too much of something without going deeper into it is problematic. So you can read a lot, but read a lot on something and focus on it, right? And so in our halaqat of Quran, what we would do is we would focus on. Thought something was walking on the ground there. It's weird. Allah protect me. In our Friday night programs, what we would do is focus on giving candies and chocolates to the children, right? And making sure that they line up properly, right? And making sure that parents have no say in the amount of chocolate that their kids eat, right? Got lots of chocolate, all stashed in my desk. No, I'm joking. That's not what we'd focus on. Who we would focus on, ayat of the Quran. And sometimes we do more, and other times we do less. And the reason why, one of the reasons, again, why I wanted to take a step back and slow down a little bit is, we learned so much, but I don't feel that what we learned is being understood. Forget about being implemented. I don't feel that what we learned already is fully understood by all the students that attended our Friday night programs in the masjid. Does that make sense? So when we talk about learning the Quran, okay, we have to take what is reasonable in terms of the amount and try to live with it. And if we're not able to live with it yet, then we don't need to go and take more. We don't all need to become scholars. We don't all need to memorize the entire Quran. We don't all need, look, we are not all the same. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created every single one of us different. Some of us need to be doctors. Some of us need to be lawyers. Some of us need to be engineers. Some of us need to be teachers. Some of us need to be fathers. Some of us need to be mothers. Some of us need to be children, right? As in be a little bit more childish and play with their children, not be so serious and strict all the time, right? Some of us need to grow up. And so we can't all be the same because we know that we're not. And this is where at times we need to just slow it down. What did you learn of the Quran so far? We learned the entire 30th juz in the last few months here in the masjid before the pandemic. We learned Surah Al-Rahman. We now went through Surah Al-Kahf. Okay? We went through some verses of Surah Al-Baqarah when the pandemic started. We went through so many different verses of the Quran and different surah as well, the 29th juz. What do you remember? If I was to give you a test or a quiz right now, what would you remember? What would you be able to write as answers? If I was to say, what's Al-Qari'ah? Tell me the answer right now. Would we be able to answer it? And so, when you look back and, you know, someone mentioned something here, how people become students of knowledge, memorizing Qur'an and Mutun if we have to revise so much per day, subhanAllah. Yes, that's exactly it. That's exactly it. We have to revise so much every single day. And that's how it is, and that's why. One thing that really bothers me at our time in 2020, and this is going to be me going on a rant for about 2 minutes, right? One thing that really bothers me is we live at a time where anyone could ask anything about, you know, an Islamic question. And on the WhatsApp groups or on social media, Facebook, whatever, comments and Instagram and so on, people are giving their own opinions about it. And it's so annoying and it's so frustrating at the same time because it's like, if I have an issue with my tooth or I have a problem with my back, I'm not going to take advice from every person out there. And everyone says, oh, I have a problem with my back too. What you need to do is do this or do that. No, I want to know from a doctor, someone who's educated in this, what the actual problem is and what the solution is. But we live at a time now where someone on a group may ask or might say something and someone else says, brother, don't you know this? And then they copy paste a post or copy paste a statement and then khalas, they put it out there. So everyone's a scholar now. So basically we have no need for imams and scholars or shuyukh or you know, female scholars as well. That shouldn't be the case. It's really, really annoying for me personally because I spent so many years studying Islam. And this is, like I said, a personal rant. When I see people, especially on WhatsApp groups, who are talking about the deen and saying, brother, don't you know this? Or, oh, it's simple. It's just this and that. You know, this is what you do. An Islamic question is asked and someone just gives an answer. You can't just do that. And you shouldn't just do that. Because I don't step into your profession and say things about what I think to do with what you have to do. That doesn't mean that we are not educated in Islam, so we shouldn't answer questions that we know. But sometimes we should leave certain things to be answered in a way that is appropriate to the time, to the place, to the people, based on the understanding of what's going on. Right? And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to have mercy upon every single one of us. And that's all the time that we have. I need to go unlock the door, open it up for people to come in for Salat al-Isha, and this gives some people time to get to the masjid. Those of you that are at home and you're living in Milton, well, you have 17 minutes to get to the masjid. And anyone who's living in the Scotland-Derry area, you have in more than enough time to 15 minutes to get to the masjid from there. So please make your way over to the masjid for Salat al-Isha. And remember, it's raining outside, so there's more khair and more goodness, and your dua is accepted. So make it over to the masjid and pray with us, inshallah. Jazakum Allahu khairan wa barakallahu feekum. We'll see all of you very soon, inshallah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept from all of you and all of us. And someone's asking, how do you know the difference between nasiha, da'wah, and a fatwa? Okay, we'll talk about that next time. Ask these questions next time, inshallah. And also, message me to remind me of that question. جزاكم الله خيرا وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك نشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت نستغفرك ونتوب إليك بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والعصر إن الإنسان لفي خسر إلا الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات وتواصوا بالحق وتواصوا بالصبر والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.